Yeah, we'll send somebody right over.
Hey, Scott.
Jenny, I got one for you.
My first case!
We take the calls, we investigate. Well, you go to investigate.
Hello.
Ah! Ghost!
You're an expert on everything paranormal.
We're not Ghostbusters. We're here to help the paranormal members of our community live in harmony with their human counterparts.
How could we ever repay you?
Cash is always cool.
I mean, it's all in a day's work. Tonight, I have my second date.
Of your life?
Oh, crap.
Watch out!
Vampires are like vegans, but less judgmental.
There is a demon out there that needs to get his ass kicked.
Jenny?
What did you see?
My death.
That is so Raven.
Are you bothering that coven again?
No, that is not me.
Silence, cleric.
You're sure you want the ghost gone? There's no way you can get along?
No way! She's a real bee, this one.
We don't always have the answers. Sometimes you just gotta figure it out as you go along.
Joining us today on Moving Radio is director Michael Peterson. We're going to be talking about Department of Paranormal Affairs. And this is actually going to be screening as part of the Calgary Underground Film Festival on Saturday, April 27th at 4:30 p.m. And friends, it's the Canadian premiere, so you know it's a deal. And on top of that, Michael and several other cast and crew will be in attendance for the Q&A. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, it's our pleasure. Absolutely. I kind of like, because Cuff did something like this last year with another docuseries. So I kind of love this launching pad of a series happening at a film festival. So why don't you tell us about Department of Paranormal Affairs? It's actually a 6-part series, and this will give the Cuff audience just a little taste. So tell us about this this special branch of the government that deals with day-to-day problems of, you know, all the regular stuff like vampires, werewolves, ghosts, goblins, you know, anything that goes bump in the night.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the way I sort of approached it was, or the way I think of it is like a workplace. It's like a workplace comedy that's very Canadian in the best possible way. So you've got this group of people that are maybe slightly underfunded. And because they're Canadian, they're not trying to, you know, bust ghosts or stake vampires or, you know, exterminate things. They're actually trying to figure out a way for all of us to get along. So in this world, you know, all of these supernatural things exist and they're somewhat new to society. So if people have, you know, say a ghost in their house, the point isn't to sort of, you know, eradicate the ghost. It's to figure out how the ghost and the person, they both live there. They got to figure out how to live together. That's sort of the gist of the show. So what they're showing at Cuff is all 6 episodes. It's a short form series. So it's, I think, just a little over an hour altogether. And then showing another film by a local filmmaker as well before that. So it should be a great showing of kind of local content and local creators.
And it'll be nice to have everybody there to see the entire thing. And it's in kind of complete form as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the characters at the center of this series? Because really it revolves around a trio of people.
So the boss is played by Donovan Workham. He is a somewhat mysterious ne'er-do-well who doesn't seem all that interested in, you know, doing his work, but he is the boss and sometimes gives very bad advice and also strangely seems to, you know, his pop culture references go back, you know, 100+ years. So he's got a mysterious element about him where we're not quite sure what his greater goals are or, you know, what his ultimate interests and aims are. But there does seem to be a mystery around that character. Is he a little bit older than he seems? Is he himself got some sort of paranormal element to him? But whatever it is, he's not necessarily a predictable boss. So what that does with the two people that are working under him, so the actor David Feehan and Nancy. Nancy's the new recruit. She's coming in sort of guns a-blazing. Her attitude is sort of, you know, let's ram into it head first and then figure out what it is later. her partner, who's supposed to be sort of, you know, shepherding her through this new job, he's a little bit more by the book, a little bit more of a practical minded, and probably would read the book first and then barge through. So you have all these conflicting personalities, conflicting work personalities and work relationships. And sort of they have to figure out also how to get along amongst themselves to solve the problems that they face each week.
When you went through a project like this and took a look at it, what are the things that kind of appealed to you? Was it the sensibility of the humor? Did you kind of look at it as like, it'll be fun to deal with all this paranormal kind of different stuff in this episodic way? What kind of really drew you to the project?
Well, I really like comedy. The first film I ever made, I got to write and direct it and produce it with lots of help. That was a straight up comedy, right? Lloyd the Conqueror, about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And I've always liked doing comedy. I've always liked writing it. I've always liked directing it. It's really fun to make, you know, when you're up with a group of people and you're trying to do stuff that's funny. I enjoy that. And then since I made that first feature, I've done a lot of horror. So whenever I can blend something that I think I'm pretty good at, that are often somewhat distinctly different, and I can find ways to sort of bridge those gaps, it feels like an exciting challenge where I'm using my strengths, but also pushing sort of my abilities in a slightly new and different way. So I really like the challenge of those things, and I think I'm pretty good at both of them. So if I can bridge them together successfully, which I also think I did, or the team did, to me, that's exciting when you can sort of roll things beyond sort of what the typical expectation is or beyond what the norm is for those types of stories.
Yeah, because we were talking a little bit before we went into this interview, and I talked to you about how I had seen Lloyd the Conqueror at Dead Fest a few years ago and thoroughly enjoyed it. And then looking into also that you'd done Knuckleball in between that, it did seem like when I looked at this project, it's like this could be these two things married together. So it's kind of interesting that you say that, because it looks like even through your future work, and you've done television as well, this is kind of like that perfect marriage of those two sensibilities. Some people might think, I don't know, that's a tough balance to achieve, right? Or do you feel like actually these work together perfectly? It's just really unlocking the code of that.
Yeah, I think they're really complementary in a lot of ways. I mean, think of a movie like Shaun of the Dead or something like that, you know, like where it's, I would say that's a great example of horror comedy, where the horror parts are funny, the scary parts are scary, but you can also blend those moments. So, you know, where the end result of something might, you expect it to be a scare, but you can also turn that into a joke or vice versa. So finding those opportunities, and this script definitely had those opportunities. The main writer was David Feehan, and, you know, he just wrote a nice script that really allowed me to take it on as a director, really, you know, kind of push those things. Fortunately enough, I was able to sort of, I think I might be coming with a stronger kind of horror background than the writer, in an experiential way. And the producer, who's also a Feehan, Michael Feehan. Anyways, I think they let me run with some of those things where I was like, oh, I think I can expand sort of the horror or the genre component of this. And it'll actually, you know, ultimately make the funny part funnier, I believe. They were just good partners to work with who, you know, trusted me, and we all trusted each other. And they let me run with it when I had good ideas on set or in prep.
Mike Peterson's our guest today on Moving Radio. We're discussing Department of Paranormal Affairs. This series is going to be screening as part of the Calgary Underground Film Festival on Saturday, April 27th at 4:30 p.m. It's the Canadian premiere, friends, and you can be there to check out not only the show itself within about a 1 hour screening, but it's Michael and several other cast members are going to be there for the Q&A as well after the series is done. You just discussed David Feehan and Michael Feehan, no relation, as it says in the press kit.
That was my first question.
Yeah. They're two cousins, brothers. What's the deal?
How do you guys know each other? We don't. Random, we just met.
That's right. And if you're an old head like me, you're like, didn't Tim Feehan do a song in a film called The Wraith? And it wasn't that guy from Alberta, but that's just a really a deep cut for Moving Radio fans. So those two Feehans developed and produced the series. What's the latitude for you creativity wise? Because you kind of talked a little bit about how you bring your sensibility as a director from maybe those elements of horror that maybe they're not as familiar with as writers necessarily, as producers. So what's kind of like the special sauce that you add to the show?
It always kind of depends on the team. Because sometimes I'm the writer, sometimes I'm the director, sometimes I'm the producer, sometimes I'm all of them. So I think rather than, you know, that giving me creep when I'm not doing the other jobs, hopefully that gives me sort of a healthy respect for what those jobs are and how to not overstep. So I want to be very clear if I'm doing something that I think is outside the purview of what was written, or how, you know, maybe an episode is supposed to be filmed. And if I have an idea, I want to make sure everyone's on board. So I want to run it by, typically, because the writer is also the actor in the show, I want to run it by him, and I want to make sure that the producer's on board, because they don't want to see the stuff or come in halfway through the day and be like, what is going on here? This doesn't look like anything that I've seen on a page. So it's more just like good communication. You know, you don't know, like, if you have an idea and they're like, I don't think that'll work, or that's not the right tone, you know, I have to respect that and honor that, because ultimately they're sort of the caretakers that are taking it out to the marketplace. And it's not my job to kind of, you know, stamp my feet and make something that we're not all making together. So, I mean, that's a very sort of broad strokes example of that. Sort of a more practical application, it would be one of the episodes has an invisible character in it. So I was like, this episode feels like it's for me anyways, visually missing something. And I mean, literally it is missing a person because they're invisible. Just there, I couldn't find my visual hook into it. And it felt like it was slightly different than the other episodes. So anyway, I approached them with what I thought was maybe a radical idea. And I was maybe expecting them to also say no way. But I was like, what if all these scenes have sort of the point of view and are done from the character that's invisible? So they're actually one take scenes where we can kind of move the camera around as if this person is in the room and can be anywhere they want, doing whatever they want. They can be reacting to things. They can even be engaging with those characters. That those characters just can't see them. So there's an example of that where the characters are walking out of the house and they're looking around trying to figure out where this kid that's disappeared because he's turned invisible is. And this kid, being a kid, you know, when they turn their back, he throws a pine cone at them. And just like things like that, be a little more mischievous with it and a little bit more active with the camera in that example. So that would be a strong departure from the page. But I think, you know, also in my argument for it, is that I think it's actually adding more to the page, even though it's not a very literal interpretation of what's written. So anyways, you just want to make sure everyone's on board. So I'm not just going to go rogue and start filming it a way that's like way different than people would expect, and they're wondering what you're doing. You just need everyone on board.
Yeah, well, you mentioned already an episode that features the invisible kid. But is there one of these moments that you maybe want to talk about that's kind of drop as like a little hint for the audience that hopefully is going to be able to see it, whether it's online or whether maybe VOD or something like that, that was like your favorite one to deal with outside of the invisible boy one?
Yeah, sure. I kind of liked, I liked all of them.
It's a tie. I love it.
It's a tie, but okay, I'll pick the ghost episode. The ghost episode was, on a technical level, was fun because we had to figure it out. It just so happened that the one actor was, you know, came down with something that day and wasn't able to come to set. So we were wondering, oh, did we just cancel the day and, you know, figure out how to do this later? Me and the director of photography and the producer just got together and I was like, I think there's actually a way we can still do this. And I think it might actually work out better because it'll change how we do the visual effects with the ghost character. So anyways, it ended up actually, I think, working for the better of the show. But the character itself is dealing with a ghost. So you go into the episode and you're like, oh no, this older fellow's got a haunted house. But then you realize, no, it's not a haunted house. This is his ex-wife, deceased wife. But she has died, so whatever that means. but she's still living there with him, kind of still, you know, haunting him, having certain expectations of him. And what we realize is that they, you know, they never really got a chance to sort of, you know, reconcile their feelings with one another because they've been married for so long and just kind of got away from telling each other they love one another. So it kind of turns from this spooky moment into sort of a sweet moment. And then when the investigators leave, or the, you know, our two Department of Paranormal people leave, you know, it gets, I don't know if this is the right word, but it, you know, it gets pretty horny with those two married, the married couple rekindling their love as a ghost and a man. So anyways, that's kind of fun and something I don't think I've actually seen before. So,
well, that's the hope always, right? When you enter projects like this, you're like, I'm turning the page on something new for myself. So, you know, there's another box for you to check there, Mike. Exactly. Well, you've had also experience on series before, specifically comedic stuff with Tiny Plastic Men and also Caution May Contain Nuts. We've already kind of mentioned your experience on future films with Lloyd the Conqueror and Knuckleball, and I'm sure there's something in near future ahead for you too. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, is there a shift in directing style? I know there's a shift obviously in the pacing a lot of times, but maybe not that much since it's a, you know, independent film a lot of times. Like, what's the difference for you, and do you have to approach, you know, a series project versus a feature project in a different way?
Typically on a feature project, I'm just wearing more hats. It's just usually a lot more work. On a series project, I'm usually just doing, I'm more often doing the one thing. So I'm just directing. So it's actually kind of comfortable and nice to just be able to focus on the one area. In terms of like style and stuff over time, I'm not sure. Like when I first started out, I explored like, I don't know, maybe I'd say a dozen different directors and how they approach their work, because most people have a slightly different process. And then I was lucky enough to do an internship at Ridley Scott's development company. So I got to sort of see how he worked through the development of a couple projects and pre-production. Anyways, I just got to see all these different sort of ways of working. And then I got to try them out on short films and other types of shorter projects. For the most part, I took what worked and what didn't, but that was just for me kind of more specifically. But what I find is at the beginning of my career, I thought I had to have my hands on a lot more things. You probably micromanage a little bit more, and you think that a director is a magician, and they are not. Like if you've cast the wrong actor, you are not such an amazing director that you're going to make that person right for the role. That is not how it works. So sort of over time, I think you learn how to get out of your own way more than anything.
Well, our guest today on Moving Radio has been Mike Peterson, director of Department of Paranormal Affairs. If you're lucky enough to be in Calgary on Saturday, April 27th at 4:30 p.m., you're going to check it out there. And you're going to be one of the first people in Canada to be able to see it, because that's the title. It's the Canadian premiere. And not only is Michael going to be there, but several cast and crew. I can figure at least one Feehan will be in attendance. Maybe two.
Two.
There we go.
Two.
You can have double. How about Edmonton legend Donovan Workin? Is he going to be there?
He is going to be there. Yeah, he's there hilarious.
That's all. I know you've worked with him before, obviously, and some of the TV stuff. But yeah, he's an exceptional comedian. That's for sure. Anybody in this town knows that. That's for sure, too. So I was very excited when I saw him as part of this. Check it out, friends. It's a Cuff. And if you don't see it at Cuff, I don't know if you have information for people, Michael, as to where they might be able to find this series.
It'll be playing on the pay TV provider Hollywood Suite this summer.
Perfect. That's a great channel. I love that channel. I love all the different decades of it. It's fantastic.
Great. Yeah. So we were lucky enough to have them come on board. And so that's where it will end up living on Canada for a while.
Excellent. Well, Mike, especially thank you for the time that you've given us on this project. I hope that it's definitely not the last time we talk to you. And I'm excited to see what you got going on in the future, especially when it comes down the road with a feature.
I got a couple in the pipeline. At the end of the summer, there will be a few out.
All right. Look, I don't know. You get your people to talk to me because I have no people. Okay.
I'm my people. I will talk to you.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, Mike. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thanks.